Hello and welcome back to another episode of Find the Edge with Nick and Cody. Been a while, my man. How are you? How have you been? How are you feeling heading into this playoff season?
I'm ready to roll. You know, it has been a little while. We've been posting everything in the Facebook group, so shout out the Facebook group. Make sure you follow along with that in case there aren't any podcasts on a given week. But unfortunately, the holidays led into a super busy time at work and just have not been able to put out as many pods as we would like to, but ready to roll. I like my picks for the wild card weekend, and goal pretty much is just get myself back to positive and push the pod into the positive as well. Well, you are the positive, so I need to up my end a little bit here and help the podcast a little bit and not hold us down like I have been. So, but no, I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm glad to be back here. I'm glad to do this. Wildcard weekends, one of my favorite weekends of the year. We obviously had two college football games the past two nights as well. That year boy raked in over those past two nights. So that was pretty sweet. Built a little bit of a bankroll ready to make some money over wildcard weekend as well. How have you been doing?
Not too bad. We also did pretty well in the two college football playoff games. Just been holed up in the house the past week because of the snow. Yeah. I'm sure you're experiencing some similar difficulties navigating just around with the crazy amount of snow that we have dealt with in the Midwest here for this past week. But yeah, really excited about this weekend. Two pretty good college football games. The first one, obviously, back and forth, awesome. Last night, there have been worse games. It ended up being a little anticlimactic at the end there. Thought that Texas was going to send it to overtime, but the pick six probably helped you cover whatever bets you had, I'm assuming, just based on your reaction to it. So, really excited about this weekend. Wild card. There's a lot of really interesting games. I can't wait to get into them. Before we do that, we are going to do a quick recap of our 2024 season, at least the regular season. Ended 101-99 as a pod. That is a little bit underwater as far as units go once you include the VIG. But considering the struggles of the professional market this year, I think that's honestly not the worst outcome here. Could have been a lot worse. I know I listened to a lot of people that I like that had worse years than us that were way, way underwater. So to end there, I think, you know, at the end of the day, if that's our worst season, I will absolutely take it. The culprit, I think, is pretty clear here. Betting underdogs was just not the way to go this year overall. Favorites covered over 55% against the spread just at large. If you take every game, that's their best cover rate since 2009. And 85 of our 200 podcast bets were on underdogs. So when that's the case and you're trying to pick from a pool that's only hitting at 44.7% of the time, it's going to be tough. I don't really think we should be making sweeping adjustments here. I think we just stick to the process. I think the one thing I might try to adjust for us moving forward is maybe just spreading the wealth a little bit. Like I said, 85 of our 200 bets on underdogs. I think we, if we get that down closer to 35% instead of 45-50%, we might be able to avoid some outlier years like this when, you know, either favorites or underdogs or overs or unders are, you know, cashing at historic rates. I don't want us to be forcing anything in just to meet some arbitrary quota, but that may be the one adjustment is to, tick the underdog overall betting down to, 35-40% so we can avoid kind of getting screwed by outlier years like this. But in general, I think we just stick to the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it is a little bit of an outlier year. And, you know, me personally, I did not adjust too well to the outlier year that we had. Still pushed a lot of underdogs, even down the stretch that did not come to fruition for me. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think just, not trying to cap the number, but, on some weeks, if you have, more than two underdogs, maybe try and find a way to squeeze another bet in there and just try and spread the wealth a little bit. So that way, like you said, really when it comes down to the season, there's one glaring weakness for the podcast. And it was truthfully me betting underdogs, 17-24 on underdogs for the season. So, if we just put that number at 500, then I'm really close to positive. That pushes the podcast up, into the positive a little bit. So, I agree with you. I do think that's a good idea. But like you said, you know, it's a little bit of an outlier season. So definitely not something that we're going to, you know, we're not going to go into next year and be all about the favorites, because historically that has not worked out. But, you know, this season, which is an outlier, definitely was a year to try and find a couple more favorites here or there. And like I said, definitely part of my issue there. I love betting underdogs, especially ugly underdogs. They've been a moneymaker for many, many years for professional bettors. And that's kind of just the philosophy I like to follow as well. And it didn't work out this year. But again, you know, total, you know, it depends on your unit size. I'm down 7.9 units. So if you're putting big money on it, that could be a big loss on a year betting. But, you know, I'm not totally upset. You know, I think that puts me pretty close to even over the course of a 3-year span. And this is a pretty bad year for me. At least I'd like to hope so. I hope it doesn't get much worse. So overall, you know, not happy with the way that it worked out. But, you know, if an outlier season is the reason why we don't go positive for a year, then that's okay. Because over the course of 10, 15, 20 years, I think that our methods are going to work and work out well for us. And like you said, you know, one of the big podcasts that we like to, you know, listen to, at least I do, the Action Network, the favorites, they were getting destroyed all season long betting bad, you know, underdogs. So it was just the way that the season played out. Like you said, it's an outlier. It is what it is, but definitely should have done a better job of adjusting at some point throughout the season to help the podcast out.
Yeah, something we can maybe work on moving forward. But like I said, I don't want us to make sweeping changes, and I don't want us to be forcing bets in just to meet some arbitrary quota as far as, you know, favorites, overs or unders or whatever it ends up being. But let's get to the wild card games. This first one I'm probably going to throw to you because I don't have too strong of a lean here. Should be an interesting game here. Chargers at Texans. Chargers 2.5-point road favorites here, over under 41.5. Stat of the game, Justin Herbert 14-9 against the spread as a road favorite in his career, and he's 7-1 in his last 8 against the spread as a road favorite. Cody, I'm going to throw this one to you. I think the under is the play I would have liked here, but this number's come down quite a bit from open. I believe it was 44, now 41.5, so we might have missed the key number there that we should have been on. So at this point, I don't really have a lean. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't have a strong lean on either side or the total in this game. That'll be a little bit of a trend. So we put together 3 best bets. I'm going to end up having a total of 5 that I'm going to put out there. Both of the other 2 just kind of try and help the unit totals. But for this game, what I've kind of come out to... Okay, so a little bit of a backstory here. I've hit both the first touchdown scorers in the college football game. So trying to ride a little bit of the hot hand there. Hit both the running backs who scored the first touchdowns. We're going to take J.K. Dobbins to be the first touchdown scorer tonight. Plus 650 are the odds. So 1 unit would make you a total of 7.5 units. But I feel like the Chargers, we know the style of football that they want to play. They want to run it. They want to, you know, take a while with each drive that they have. And if they get, you know, within the 3-yard line, I feel like they're going to, you know, give it to Dobbins and let him get his touchdown. So feel pretty good about that one. Obviously, you know, it's a little bit of, you know, it's not a 1-to-1 bet. So you're definitely risking a little bit more there, but I do like that one quite a bit. And then, the other one in this game here is actually one that I've hit on a couple of times throughout the year. Quentin Johnston, over 20.5 for his longest reception. It's minus 120, so 1 unit to win, you know, a little bit less than a unit. It's hit in 7 out of 14 games this season, which may make it seem a little coin flippy, but there are a few things that add a little bit of value to this bet. One, there's no Joshua Palmer. I know that Joshua Palmer is not a major factor, but he does help kind of stretch the field a little bit downfield. So if that gives an extra opportunity or 2 to Johnston, then I like this bet a little bit more. And then also the Texans have allowed a lot of big plays to wide receivers. They have been one of the easiest defenses to hit big plays against all season. Kind of took a little bit from fantasy there, some fantasy numbers. They were one of the worst against wide receivers, not necessarily giving up a ton of receptions, but a lot of the receptions that they do give up, you know, go for big plays. So I do feel like Quentin Johnston, whether it just be one deep pass or maybe he catches a little something over the middle and runs it, I feel like he has a pretty good chance of getting over 20 and a half for his longest reception. So those are the two bets that I came up with for this game here.
Yeah, I like Quentin Johnston. There's a separate podcast that I listen to that's on his overs as well. He is a very good splits against zone defense. He's actually been one of the worst wide receivers in the NFL against man coverage. Houston is a very zone heavy defense. And like you said, without Josh Palmer in the mix, that should lead to a few more snaps and hopefully a couple more targets for Quentin Johnston and more opportunities for you to hit that long reception. So that's a good play there. If you want to just play it vanilla and go straight to Quentin Johnston's over on his receiving yards, I believe it's in the mid 40s. That's not a bad way to look either. In general, in this game, though, the reason I like the under is it's a good matchup for both defenses. CJ Stroud struggles heavily against zone coverage. Chargers play a ton of that. And similarly, on the other side, the Chargers offense is going to struggle to run the ball here. Houston's run defense has been lacking the past 4 or 5 weeks, but they were missing two of their three starting linebackers. Azeez Al-Shaair, famously with the hit on Trevor Lawrence, has not played since he's been suspended. He is back now for this game, and they had another outside linebacker that is going to be healthy for this one as well that hasn't played the last few weeks, so that should help their run D. I have a hard time getting to a side because of the tough matchup on both sides. I'd honestly lean Houston, just take the points with the home team here in a low-scoring game. But honestly, I think I'd still lean under 41.5, even though the total has come down. If I had to play something in this game besides a prop, that's where I'd go. But I don't have anything open on this game. This is the only game I don't have a single bet open on, and I might not even get to one. Depending on where the line goes by a kickoff. A lot of times the day of, over-unders get bet up. So if I like an under, I'm going to wait until the last possible second to take it, hoping that it ticks up a little bit. But this one, it's just a lot of sharp action on this under, so it might not go anywhere. So we'll see. I might end up getting to the under, but I'm hoping that I can get a few more points of value here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pittsburgh at Baltimore, the other game tonight. Baltimore, 9.5-point home favorites here. Over-under is 44 in this one. I know you're going to hear a ton of Tomlin underdog stats, but this one actually really caught my eye. He has an underdog of more than 7. Tomlin is just 7-9-1 against the spread in his career. Doesn't face that particular set of circumstances very often, obviously. Good coach. You're not going to be a huge underdog that often, but interesting to see that those Tomlin underdog stats usually, you know, that's you're looking at the 1-7 range most of the time for him. So when he is a big underdog, it actually tends to go the other way. Steelers in the playoffs, well publicized, but they have had a lot of struggles recently. 5 straight losses straight up and against the spread for the Steelers in the playoffs. They will be highly motivated, obviously, to at least make this a game. Cody, I'm going to throw this one to you again. Not one of my three best bets, not in this game. I do have a ticket open, but another game I don't have a ton of interest in. I like the games on Sunday a lot more myself.
Yeah, I don't have anything for this game either. At least not anything I'm going to put in the pod. I did do a write-up for each game, and I'll throw those on my Twitter and my Instagram stories and in the Facebook group as well. But, yeah, I don't know. I want to say Ravens -9.5 and then probably also just take the under as well, just the way that these games work out. I just don't have a lot of faith in the Steelers team coming off of 4 straight losses. They've looked like a completely different team. Ravens coming off of 4 straight covers. They look dominant, look like they're going to have an insane game against the Bills the following week. So I don't know. I'm staying away from it because I want to take the big underdog or the big favorite in an AFC North matchup, Steelers Ravens matchup, and just can't get myself to do it. So staying away from this game as of right now. But in my write up, I may have a player prop or something like that that you could tag along with if you want something to root for in this game. But I honestly just feel like there's a chance that the Ravens just wipe the floor with the Steelers, but all of the AFC North and this matchup's history just takes me away from it. Again, we're coming down to 3 best bets. I know I sprinkled in a couple extra, but I just couldn't feel too confident going any way in this game.
Yeah, I've got Steelers plus 10 at minus 120 open right now. Like I said, it's not going to be one of my three best bets for this weekend, so I don't love it. I could see Baltimore running away with this one, but 10 points is just so many for this this Pittsburgh squad. I think that is getting a little bit disrespected here. That performance against the Cincinnati defense was truly troubling. I mean, that like they needed that game. Under 200 yards of total offense against that Bengals defense at home is pretty embarrassing. I can't imagine they come out with a worse effort than that, because that's about as bad as it gets. They still covered in that game. Actually got me one of my few dog wins for the past few weeks there with that plus 2.5 somehow covered coming through against the Bengals, even though they got pretty well dominated throughout that game, especially on the offensive side. But yeah, I could see Lamar struggling here. Obviously, his playoff struggles are very well publicized, and his struggles against the Steelers are pretty evident. There's a lot of history there, and it's not great for Lamar, other than basically the last game they played. Even that game, I think, gets a little bit overblown. I mean, you're talking about a game where the Steelers have the ball down 7 in the fourth quarter, and a pick 6 goes the other way, and obviously that swings everything, but that could have easily been a one possession game down to the wire if that hadn't happened. So yeah, I think I just take the 10 with the Steelers, but if you you want to hedge that bet, I think I might just go all the way to, you know, an alt line with the Ravens, because I think if they get rolling, it could just be, you know, kind of a boulder down a hill here where, you know, they just kind of take it all the way and blow them out. I'd look for, you know, a minus 20 or something like that at a big plus price, and instead of just laying the 9.5 with Baltimore if you want to go that way. Because I could see the Steelers getting in the back door here if this is, you know, a 14-point game in the fourth quarter. So yep. I'm going to take Steelers plus 10. Like I said, though, I don't love it. And I have some bets coming up on the Sunday games that I like more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So first game on the Sunday slate, my Denver Broncos on the road in Buffalo. Bills 9-point home favorites here. Over under is 48. Stat of the game, Josh Allen 13-9-2 against the spread as a favorite of more than 7 at home. He has no problem covering these big spreads in this spot. Cody, I'm a little biased, so I'm going to send this one over to you. I do have a best bet in this game. It's not on a side or a total, though, so I'll let you give your opinion on the game, and then I'll hit you with mine.
Yeah, this is one, I think, going to be one of the most exciting playoff games that we get this weekend. Two teams that love to play to the over. Broncos 11-6, Bills 11-5-1 on the over for the season, so both these teams know how to put up points. And both these teams have relatively solid defenses, so I'm curious to see how these explosive offenses play against these defenses on Sunday. I do think that some points will be scored. Actually, I don't know if necessarily I have a big, you know, argument for either side of this one, because I do think that there's going to be points scored on both sides. So, you know, I think there's going to be probably a late touchdown one way or another that decides the spread. But my favorite bet is the over 47.5, one of my best bets of the weekend. Okay. Look at the weather. The weather is not too bad. It's going to be cold, and there is a chance of snow, but it's below 20%. So, and also not very windy. So it's going to be a relatively, for the part of the U.S. it's in, a relatively easy weather game in Buffalo. Yeah. So not too worried about the weather ruining it. And then also, you know, the Broncos and Pat Surtain, I believe Pat Surtain the favorite to win the Defensive Player of the Year now. You know, I do think that the way that the Bills play kind of neutralizes them a little bit. You know, they don't just have one wide receiver that dominates that can go and lock down. They spread the ball around. Obviously, Josh Allen's running ability adds a lot as well. So even though I do like this Broncos defense, I do think that the way the Bills play just kind of neutralizes some of their strengths. And I think both teams are going to be able to put up points. And I think we're going to clear this 47.5 pretty easy. But like I said, this is probably one of them that I'm most excited about, because the way the Broncos are playing and the way the Bills are playing going into this game, this should be a really fun one.
Yeah, Broncos defense, obviously the strength of the squad throughout the year, maybe a little bit overrated at this point in the year, unfortunately. The last 5 games, if you take out the Kansas City game, that was not even really an NFL football game. Broncos defense is 14th in DVOA in their last 5, so more middle of the pack than elite, than what we would expect, you know, from their play previous this year. Like you said, Josh Allen's ability to spread it around isn't really the best matchup for us. And I think the Bills just have a very dynamic offense that you can't you're not going to be able to focus on the run or the pass here. They do them both really well. I think they're going to be able to score some points. On the other side, it's really just going to come down to if Bo Nix shows up here. You know, it's his first playoff start. We've seen how that can affect quarterbacks. We saw Sam Darnold making what was effectively his first playoff start in that Week 18 game against the Lions, kind of short circuit. And, you know, young quarterbacks, they just struggle. I have a stat later on that will kind of illustrate that point. It would apply to this game here too. So I guess I can just give it and then I'll reiterate it later. QBs making their first postseason start against quarterbacks with playoff experience. So that would obviously be Bo Nix at Josh Allen here. 19-37-1 against the spread. Just a really tough spot for these rookie quarterbacks. The playoffs are a different level of intensity. And I think the only way you're over doesn't, you know, that's how your over doesn't get there is if, you know, our offense just doesn't show up, score 10 points, something like that. And the Bills just kind of roll 31-10, somewhere around there. But my best bet in this game is Javonte Williams over 2.5 receptions. You're going to have to lay a little juice. The best line I could find was -120. But the Bills, they allow the most receptions and the most yards to opposing running backs. They sit back in zone, allow opposing quarterbacks to, you know, take checkdowns. Bo Nix more than willing to take checkdowns. I think you're getting a really low line here on Javonte because he's been playing fewer snaps the past 4 or 5 weeks. They've been going more to Estime and McLaughlin. The problem there is those two are really bad at pass protection. So if the Bills do go up here by, you know, 7-14 points, Javonte is going to be on the field because he's the guy that they want when, you know, the pass rushers are pinning their ears back and getting after it. So, and that's the reason that they allow a lot of catches and yards to running backs too, is because, like I said, they allow the check down. They don't want you to have the big play. And when they're winning, which they're doing a lot, the running backs just kind of get funneled targets. And that will be Javonte on passing down. So I like him over 2.5 receptions. I'd actually take this up. You know, you can escalate this a little bit up to, I believe I took it all the way to 7 is 12-1. So, you know, at your heart's desire, go ahead and escalate that as much as you want. But I think Javonte could end up, if the Bills do kind of run away with this in the second half, like I think they will, we could see, you know, him kind of rack up some garbage time receptions, and those count just the same for our props.
Yep, absolutely.
Hopefully that's not the case and my boys are able to pull it off, and I will see you in Kansas City next week if they do. But unfortunately, I think this is just too tough of a test. I just want Bo Nix to come out here and look okay, and I will probably be happy at the end of the day.
For sure.
Anything else in this one?
I don't think so.
Green Bay at Philly. Eagles, 5.5-point home favorites here, over under 45.5. Matt LaFleur is my stat of the game here. 27-12 straight up and 25-14 against the spread when facing an opponent after losing in the previous matchup. Very impressive in these rebound spots in his career. Just in general, as a dog, Matt LaFleur, I don't have the stat in front of me, but I know he's well above 60% against the spread. Usually a good spot to back the Packers coach. Although in this spot, another game I don't really have a lot. This is actually probably my least favorite game on the board as far as betting goes, just because of the uncertainty behind both quarterbacks. You know, you could easily see Jalen Hurts coming out with some rust here after not playing the past few weeks, and then Jordan Love, who knows how healthy he is with that elbow. Obviously, things are going to be played close to the vest during playoff time, but it makes it tough for us to predict things when it comes to that. Obviously, a big factor in this game. So, Cody, do you have a stronger feeling than I do here?
I really don't with this one. I don't know how to get to really either a side or a total in this game. The only thing I like that I found earlier this week, I don't know if the lines have moved or not, was A.J. Brown over 5.5 receptions. Just because if Jalen Hurts is back and looks solid, I feel like A.J. Brown's going to go, you know, back to being pretty dominant. But I don't know. I mean, this Packers defense is good. They have their fifth ranked defense, their highest defensive ranking since their Super Bowl winning season in 2010. So a little bit of a different Packers than we've had in previous years. I really don't know. I think this is going to be another good game. I could see this one being a little bit more low scoring with maybe a little bit of quarterback issues on both sides, but I don't feel very confident with any bet against the spread or total in this one.
Yeah, I think if I'm making a bet here, I actually have a ticket open right now on Philly -4.5. I made that bet earlier this week when the line came down a little bit because of the Hurts concussion news, and it was just kind of a smokescreen the whole time. Basically, it came out on Tuesday that he hadn't cleared concussion protocol, but you can't clear concussion protocol until you're able to practice, and they hadn't had one yet. So that was just kind of a, you know, clickbait tweet in that sense. And the line actually came down a little bit because of it. So I knew I was going to get a little bit of value. I mean, 4.5 to 5.5, honestly, doesn't really do much for me, but either way, I think if I'm making a bet here, I'm just taking Green Bay money line +210. This team is really well coached. They probably just shouldn't be +210 to just about anybody, even on the road. Matt LaFleur, like I said, really successful in these spots. And if Jordan Love comes out and he's healthy, I could easily see them going blow for blow with the Eagles. And, you know, the combined factor of Hurts possibly having some rust coming off the layoff is enough for me to just say, take the Packers to win the game. Maybe, you know, cut it to a half a unit because you're still getting that +210 payout. And, yeah, like I said, I don't have a ton of interest in the spread or the over-under.
Yeah, same here.
Next game, this is my favorite bet of the weekend. We have the Commanders at the Bucks. Bucks 3-point home favorites, over under is 50.5. My stat of the game was the one that I mentioned earlier. I'll reiterate it here. QBs making their first postseason start against quarterbacks with playoff experience. 19-37-1 against the spread. That would be Jaden Daniels against Baker Mayfield in this case. Cody, I'm going to throw it to you first. I want to see where you're at here. But like I said, I definitely have a lean here.
Yeah, I think that we're probably thinking the same thing. Not in my best bets, but I do think Tampa Bay is the right side in this one. You know, you have a Buccaneers team who's actually been pretty solid throughout the year. I feel like my opinion on them has kind of gone up and down a little bit, where they've kind of just stayed a pretty solid team all season long. Commanders obviously way overperformed expectations to get into this playoff spot. And yeah, I just feel like this is probably too big of a moment for a very young Commanders team. Jaden Daniels has been phenomenal the entire season, but like you said, rookie quarterbacks making their first start. And like, this is kind of where I see a little bit of a difference, like with the Broncos and Bo Nix. You know, he has Sean Payton, who's going to have him as ready as a rookie quarterback can be going into a playoff game. Mm-hmm. Here you get Dan Quinn, a defensive guy, and then Cliff Kingsbury, who has been notorious for just terrible end of the seasons as a head coach. They didn't necessarily have that. You know, they finished strong, but this is definitely a major letdown spot for the Commanders. You know, getting to this point, I feel like, is a huge success to them. And even if they lose, they're not going to be upset. You know, they have their quarterback of the future, and they can start to build around him and put more pieces together. So I think Bucks probably find a way to win this one, cover the spread. But I do think it's going to be a closer game than I'm giving the Commanders credit for in this little monologue here. I do think that they find a way to stick around, but I just think 3 is too small of a number for Tampa Bay. I think that they are a better all-around team. And like you said, Baker has some playoff history, and Jaden Daniels making his first start makes me a little bit nervous, especially with the coaches that he has behind him. So Buccaneers -3 is the side that I imagine that you're also going to be on.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have not bet this game yet. I'm hoping that we can get a -2.5. It's been sitting steady at 3 all week. But the Commanders are a heavy, heavy public dog here. 72% of tickets, 85% of money on the Commanders. And the fact that it hasn't budged from 3 is really making me only more confident in my Buccaneers stance. Basically, it comes down to on the offensive side of the ball, I think Tampa Bay is going to be able to make Washington one-dimensional, and I don't think Washington's going to be able to do the same. So here are the last 4 weeks of Commanders running back rushes. Starting with at New Orleans, 24 carries for 71 yards. Versus Philly, 15 carries, 32 yards. Versus Atlanta, 19 carries, 81 yards. Last week at Dallas, 8 carries, 22 yards. I'm willing to throw that last one out. They played half the game with Mariota. Doesn't seem like they were extremely motivated, but even so, this run game outside of Jaden Daniels running the ball has been struggling extremely. And this Tampa Bay run defense is better, other than the Philly matchup. They are a tougher matchup than any of the other run defenses they've played recently. With Vita Vea in the lineup, they are top five in success rate against the run, that being the Buccaneers. So I think they're able to make Jaden Daniels have to drop back and beat them repeatedly here, which is asking a lot of a rookie quarterback in his first start on the road. And conversely, Tampa Bay has rushed for at least 134 yards every game since their week 11 bye. That's six games. Three of those six, over 200 yards rushing. Two of those three came against Carolina, so I'll throw a little bit of an asterisk on that, but still, very impressive rushing attack here from Tampa Bay. I heard this when I was listening to a breakdown of this game earlier this week. Tampa Bay kind of is like a Detroit light, basically, at this point. Two really good running backs, really strong running game, veteran quarterback with pretty respectable weapons on the outside. You know, without Godwin, I think obviously Detroit's weapons are a little better, but still, Mike Evans, obviously Hall of Fame wide receiver. Jalen McMillan's coming on strong late in the year. Cade Otton has been a reliable target for Baker this year as well. So I think Tampa Bay should be able to work pretty well here against this Commanders defense. They're pretty middle of the pack, the Commanders defense is, against both the run and the pass. Dan Quinn's a good coach. He's gotten them to a respectable level. They were expected to be one of the worst defenses in the NFL this year, and they've been fine. They're very average across the board looking at their numbers, and I just don't think that's going to be good enough on the road against a Tampa Bay offense that's been frankly elite, especially the past 5 or 6 weeks since Mike Evans has come back healthy. So I think basically what you're looking at here is Tampa Bay is going to have success on offense. And will Jaden Daniels be able to go blow for blow? It's all going to be on his shoulders. He's going to have to either run the ball or throw it. They're not going to have much success between the tackles running the ball. I don't really think you can even see a statistical argument to that. So I like Tampa Bay minus three. If it ends there, I'll take it. I'm hoping for a 2.5 because of all the money on Washington. But yeah, I'm going to be all over Tampa in this game. I'm probably going to throw a little bit on some alt lines too, see if I can get a Tampa Bay blowout here. I just really like the way this this matchup plays out for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's 100% the right side to be on. So I agree with you. Unfortunately, one of my legs I have in a teaser is going to involve the Commanders, and I'm kind of regretting that decision now. Unfortunately, that bet's already placed, and I don't think I can take it out. So. But
yeah, I said, I
had him up to plus nine. I mean, I'd have a little bit of faith in Jaden Daniels at least keeping this close. But like you said, this could definitely be one where the Bucs just completely control this on the ground and the Commanders never really have a chance to stick in it. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, I have a little bit of regret on that teaser leg now that it's already entered.
Yeah, I don't mind. That's part of it. I don't mind laying three here with Tampa just because I trust the offense so much. You could have a decent game from Jaden. He could come out and score 24, 27 points, and I could still see the Bucs covering. I know it was a long time ago. It was week one, but Tampa already put up 37 on this Washington defense. I think we could easily get to 30 here. And if we do, I think covering three is extremely likely. I think both of us could win our bets here and hope for a Tampa Bay win by about seven. But we'll see. Should be a high scoring, very fun game on Sunday night. Last game of the wild card slate, Minnesota at LA. Well, I don't know if you want to call it at LA anymore, but the Vikings, 2.5 point road favorites here. Over under is 48. This game moved to Glendale, Arizona because of the wildfires in Los Angeles. Definitely thoughts with everybody in LA. Hope, no one out there has any family or anything having to deal with that. Sounds pretty scary in general. And I hope that it doesn't have too much of an effect on this game itself. But Cody, where are you at? I do have my last best bet in this game that I'll get to, but I'm going to let you go first and see where you are, where you're thinking.
Yeah, just a fun little stat here to kind of kick this game off. Sam Darnold is seeking to become the sixth starting quarterback since 1966 to win his first career postseason start while playing for his fourth team or later. Of the previous five, three went on to reach the Super Bowl that season. So pretty crazy that, you know, just throughout the history of the NFL, these journeyman quarterbacks that find a spot like Sam Darnold has with the Vikings tend to have a little bit more success than maybe people expect. But I don't necessarily see that in this game. The wildfires do scare me a little bit, because that's obviously a lot of personal stuff that the Rams are going to probably right. have on their mind going into this one. But I don't know what it is about this Rams team when they get in the postseason, but God, I love them. I don't know what it is about them, but I love the Rams plus three. I got them plus three this morning at DraftKings, so make sure, you know, take a look around.
Not very sure nice.
Move down, so got the full three. That was important to me. If it was at 2.5, I'm probably staying away from this game, but getting the full field goal makes me feel a little bit better. And I think this is really going to come down to one pretty key matchup, and that's the Rams' offensive line against the pass rush of the Vikings and how Matthew Stafford can hold up. If he's able to sit back there and sling it, I don't feel, you know, too bad about this, you know, plus three that we have here with the Rams. And but, you know, if their pass rush, if their blitz is able to overcome or overtake this game, then it's probably going to be a pretty ugly one for the Rams. So we'll kind of see how that plays out. I think that's the key matchup, and I feel like the Rams are kind of poised to find an upset here. A really good young defense matched with a veteran quarterback who has some, you know, explosive weapons on that side of the ball as well. I didn't make the same mistake as last year and take a money line like I did, but I am going to take the Rams plus three.
Oh yeah, that was a tragic end to that that game against Detroit. The one obviously ends on one when you you know, just go for the money line instead of the plus three. You were on the right side in that game for sure. I would lean Rams as well at this point. Like you said, really hard to know how to handicap the personal side of things. Who knows where their heads will be at? We're just going to hope that you know, everything is okay with their respective families and that, and they are able to focus on this game. It's really all we can do. We don't obviously have intimate knowledge of the locker room, but instead of taking a side, I'm going to go under 48 here. Both these teams slightly lean to the unders this year. Rams 8-9, many 7-10 to the under. So that would be 10-7 and 9-8 to the under technically. But the last three games the Rams played before week 18, when they sat all their starters, they did not allow a touchdown on defense. Really impressive stuff from them. Under 10 points allowed to all three of those opponents as well. Rams also more rushing attempts than dropbacks in those three games. So they kind of showed us that when they're winning, this is kind of how they want to play. They want to run the ball down your throat with Kyron Williams. And, you know, then it's just play action to Cooper Kupp and mostly Puka Nacua at this point. On top of that, I think that's really masking what you laid out there. Their biggest weakness is their offensive line has trouble protecting Matt Stafford. Sean McVay knows that, and that's why he's leaning so heavily into the ground game, trying to slow down those pass rushers, in turn keeping the clock moving and hopefully helping us with this under. On the other side, Minnesota, like I said, 10-7 to the under on the year. They do have an explosive passing offense, but I mean, that game, it's hard to unsee what we saw from Sam Darnold last week against Detroit, against a defense that should have been a much easier matchup than what he's going to be facing against the Rams this week. The Rams defense isn't fantastic, but it does have a good pass rush, and that's the key against Sam Darnold. If you are able to get pressure with four rushers, you are going to have success against this Minnesota offense. It's really that simple. He had a lot of trouble against the blitz last week against Detroit, but Sam Darnold going into that game was the number one quarterback in the league against the blitz, as far as passer rating is concerned. So usually you don't want to send extra rushers against Minnesota, because Kevin O'Connell is a great coach and he usually has plays schemed up to combat that. But the Rams can get pressure with four. Jared Verse and Braden Fisk have been absolutely incredible additions to this this front four, and they don't need to blitz to get pressure. And if they are able to get pressure with four rushers, I love the Rams in this game straight up, but I think it just plays to the under either way, in my opinion. And you'd figure that Kevin O'Connell, seeing what he saw last week, would probably want to take some off of Sam Darnold's shoulders, try to get the run game going, maybe some short passing stuff. All of that sort of, in my mind, plays to an under here. So instead of taking the Rams plus 2.5, I'll just take the under 48. The other thing that scares me is Kevin O'Connell, like just in general, is such a good coach. Coming off that beating against Detroit, you'd figure he's going to come up with a good effort here. And he is 25-9 in one-score games as the Vikings head coach. Incredible stuff. not that big of a sample size because he hasn't been there that long. But yeah, he's really, really successful in those spots. So I don't want to go against him. I'd rather not lay the short number. I'll just take the under. And if you were going to bet the Rams, I'd just bet them to win. Like I said, if it's a one score game, there's a decent chance Kevin O'Connell's going to find his way to a W there. So yep. I would just take the money line on the Rams. Like I said, +3, if you can get that, wait for it. But otherwise I'm taking the under 48 and it is my third best bet.
Love it. Do you want to run through your three picks real quick?
Yep. Javonte Williams, over 2.5 receptions. The Buffalo Bills allow the most receptions and yards to opposing running backs on the year, and he is their passing downs back. Tampa Bay, -3, wait for a 2.5. Might be able to get there before kickoff tomorrow night, but I will take the 3 if that's where we're at. And then mini LA, under 48, hoping for a defensive battle in Glendale.
Absolutely. Love it. I have a total of 5 here. We're gonna get even or get even worse this weekend. So we're gonna get there one way or another. J.K. Dobbins to be the first touchdown scorer in the Chargers Houston game.
Love it.
+650 there. Quentin Johnston over 20.5 for his longest reception, -120. So you got to lay a little bit extra on that one. Broncos at Bills over 47.5. Rams +3, and then my +160 teaser here. We teased the Los Angeles Chargers and Houston game to over 35.5. I am with Nick. I do kind of like the under where it was earlier in the week, but I think they can find a way to get to 36 points between these two. Bills -2.5, just kind of teasing that down to below a field goal, and then the Commies +9. So I kind of talked about that one a little bit, feeling a little bit concerned about that leg just based on the way that matchup plays, but I still feel like there's a chance that we can meet a nice little middle there and the Bucks find a way to win by 6 or 7. So yeah, like I said, we're gonna have some extra bets this weekend, trying to get ourselves into the green and hopefully make the listeners some money. So Nick, do you have anything else, anything from Wildcard Weekend you want to bring up?
Yeah, you added in some long shots, so I'm just going to give out a couple tickets I have open, okay. some futures here that I really like. First off, my Super Bowl winner right now. I don't know if you have one. As far as the future's concerned, give me the Ravens, +600. They, I think, are the best team in the NFL right now, at least by the numbers. Their offense, #1 in DVOA on the season. Their defense, #1 in DVOA the last 6 weeks. They are truly elite right now. Obviously, it's basically what we saw last year. I mean, it was basically the same thing. This Ravens team was firing on all the cylinders coming into the playoffs. They were the #1 seed, and Lamar laid an egg in the AFC title game, and it's going to come down to him not doing that at some point. But the numbers say this team should not be a 6-1, should not be 6-1 to win the Super Bowl. I think that those are some good odds there. And then taking that a little further, I like the Eagles on the other side. So Ravens Eagles exact Super Bowl matchup, 16-1. I think there's good value there on the Eagles. You're basically just hoping Jalen Hurts comes out and with no rust and plays a good game. But I think their roster is better than every other team in the NFC, and I could see them rolling through if that offense is able to get into a rhythm. And you're getting a good number on them right now because they have a tough first round matchup. But if they beat the Packers, that number will shorten up considerably. So I would, if you like the Eagles on their own, I don't mind that either, just to win the Super Bowl or the NFC. I think I'd take them in the NFC because they're going to be underdogs in the Super Bowl. So you could just bet them to win the NFC and then bet them again to win the Super Bowl. And you're looking at about the same odds as you would if you just took them to win the Super Bowl straight up. But anyway, 3.5-1 Eagles to win the NFC is another good bet I would lay. But I'm kind of combining all those things and just taking the Ravens and the Eagles together at 16-1 because it's a little more fun for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. All right. Well, I will get this thing posted. Enjoy the games, Nick. Hopefully we bring home some winners for the people. And yeah, we'll be back. We'll do a divisional round as well as a conference round. We'll bring some playoff bets with for you guys so that way you guys can hopefully make some money throughout these playoffs. And like I said, check out the Twitter, the Facebook, my Instagram. I'll kind of put a little game synopsis, I guess, if you want to say that, about each game and kind of my thoughts on some of the player props and stuff like that. So make sure you keep an eye out for that. And yeah, we will be back next week. Nick, enjoy the games. Have a good weekend. Hope the snow subsides a little bit so we can actually get outside at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be ideal.
Yep. All right. Well, cool. Peace out.
Peace.